Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The job of county sheriff is critical for a community's public safety and overall well-being. Who has that job can have a direct impact on you, your family, your business. Today we're joined by Sheriff Javier Salazar. The Democrat is seeking re-election to be Bexar County's top law enforcement officer and the operator of the Bexar County Jail. Salazar is being challenged by Republican Nathan Buchanan. We recently heard from him on The Source, and we have a link to that conversation on our website at tpr.org. Sheriff Salazar, welcome back to The Source.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Now, before we get to the campaign issues, I want to ask you about this latest tragedy in our community. A one-year-old baby that was mauled by three dogs yesterday has died.
Yes.
Jariah Johnson was mauled by three pit bulls in a home in Converse, and there are a lot of questions. So now that the child has died, do we think that there's going to be an upgrade in charges against the woman, Rodriguez?
Well, certainly you're right, a heartbreaking case. With regard to the charges, you know, she's already booked on a first-degree felony, which is injury to a child, serious bodily injury by omission. It's already a first-degree felony. It's same as murder. I think in this instance, should we go over and say, hey, we're going to go with a murder charge, it's harder to prove murder. So at this point, I think we've got probably the most appropriate charge in this case at this point. Now, it is possible she may be facing additional charges for the injuries to her own child, the 13-year-old, along with anything else that may come along as a consequence of her negligence, gross negligence, I would say.
Many people in the community are wondering, is there anything that could have been done to prevent this from happening?
You know, with this instance, I think if a dog owner of any breed knows that their dog in particular or dogs are problematic, like what was in this instance, I think the responsible dog owner would realize, hey, the onus is on me. It's my job to keep my animals contained. It's my job to keep them from committing any sort of harm. Certainly bringing someone else's child into that home is a whole other level of irresponsible.
So we have the story of this couple. They have a one-year-old child. They have a babysitter that they've hired to take care of this. And she leaves a 13-year-old in charge. This 13-year-old was supposedly being homeschooled at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about that. It seems like there are lots of inflection points in this story that tell us that we're dealing with a community that is stressed and in crisis. And what can you tell me about your overall impression? Like, what is this story actually telling you about the community that you serve?
Well, I mean, I think obviously there's a litany of problems in any given community, right? In this instance, though, we have a poor 13-year-old girl. Which, let me start by saying, I don't think that this little girl bears any responsibility in this whatsoever.
Called her a hero.
She is a hero. I mean, reading the report from overnight, she did the best that she could do. Her parent is extremely irresponsible, left her in an untenable situation. She's left in the care, custody, and control of a one-year-old in a home where we know that there's dogs. Now we know that there's dogs that are problematic. And as a matter of fact, the little girl made an effort to keep the baby contained to a bedroom because she knew the dogs were out the rest of the house. Unfortunately, she also knew that the door had already been damaged by those dogs, and those dogs were able to exploit the damage that they'd already done to that door, forced their way into the bedroom, and then you know, she engaged in a life or death struggle, literally a life or death struggle, with these dogs to try to safeguard this baby. And my understanding is she did what she could, but unfortunately, you know, she lost that battle and the baby ultimately died.
So what was wrong with the door? Was there like a hole in the door?
Sure. As I understand it, there was a hole out of the bottom of the door. So like the it was like a semicircle at the bottom of
like
the door.
Like a giant mouse trap.
Yes, like what you see in the cartoons, right? A mouse trap type, like a hole in the bottom of the door that these dogs were able to squeeze through and access the baby.
Oh, so that is just tragic. And so we need to figure out ways to keep this from happening again. So
absolutely we do. I wish I knew what the answer was, right? People are asking me, well, do we need a law outlawing pit bulls? Well, the problem is other breeds of dogs also bite. Not all pit bulls bite, and other dogs do. So I don't know that outlawing any specific breed is the answer, but certainly doing what we can to hold people accountable, especially like this person, the suspect in this case. She knew those dogs were problematic, and yet she still made the decision to bring a baby into that residence, somebody else's child, and leave that baby in the custody of another child.
All right, let's get on with some of these other issues in this campaign as you're running for re-election. And our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, if you want to call in. But I do have a voicemail. Let's give this a listen.
This is Robert. It is my understanding that the current San Antonio sheriff appeared at a major partisan political function wearing the official uniform of the San Antonio sheriff. An argument can be made that this shows the sheriff has used and probably will use his civic authority in a partisan fashion. How does the sheriff answer this argument? Thank you.
All right, so Sheriff Salazar.
Sure, I appreciate Robert's feedback. First off, on the Bexar County Sheriff, not the San Antonio Sheriff. San Antonio is a city within my jurisdiction. But with that being said, I'm absolutely allowed to wear my uniform while conducting political activities, my appearance at the DNC was one of those activities. So, you know, did nothing wrong by wearing my uniform. With that being said, I am the sheriff for everybody, Democrat and Republican. Everybody's entitled to the same protections under the law, and everybody's also held accountable in my office. But with that being said, I'm proud of the fact that I spoke at the DNC, and I still stand by my comments.
And your comments, you said that Donald Trump has made the border less safe through his activity. Talk about that.
I mean, look, he's a self-centered man, and I stand by that. This vilifying immigrants and it's, that's just dangerous rhetoric that we've seen it before. It after his handling of the pandemic, what happened with the Asian community? Asian assaultive behavior against the Asian community came up. Why? Because Donald Trump's out there voicing his disdain for the Asian community and caused a lot of these assaults. Again, he's doing the same thing with immigrants. He's vilifying them. They're all a bunch of rapists and criminals. And that's just stoking hatred and violence toward these folks that, you know, for the most part, the overwhelming majority of these folks are just here looking for a better way of life. They're just looking to raise their families. They don't necessarily want to be here in the States. This is just their only opportunity to provide a life for their families. So with that being said, that rhetoric, that dangerous rhetoric of painting them all like rapists and murderers is unfair, and it's just causing people to react violently toward this segment of the population.
And really quickly, since Donald Trump, he stopped a border security bill, mm-hmm. from becoming law because using his power of his, MAGA voice. Mm-hmm. And does that enter into your argument?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, that border bill, I supported it at the request of the White House, weighed in on it, and yet it got tanked for political purposes.
All right, we're going to take a break now. We're going to return. Sheriff Salazar will be with us to take your calls. If you've got a question about him as he runs for re-election, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Dan, I've got you on the board, and I want to get you on the air with your question right after this one-minute break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With us in the studio is Sheriff Salazar. He's here to take your questions. He's running for re-election as the Democrat to be the Bexar County top law enforcement officer and the operator of the Bexar County Jail. And let's go to Dan on the phones. And Dan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Sheriff Salazar? My question is, first of all, I'm a first responder, been doing it for about 26 years. You had mentioned about accountability from the national level. My question is, how about the accountability in the local level? I personally seen in my years, especially under your headship, a small amount or a continuing growth of lack of accountability from some of the deputies. I'll give you a prime example. I myself was involved in a fender bender by somebody who was grossly intoxicated. Your officers in the Alamo Ranch area came, responded, failed to do a field sobriety test on this person. I explained to them that that person was a danger. They chose to disregard it. I tried to communicate with the sergeant. Lack of accountability, refused to return my calls. And I reached out to your department, zero accountability, zero return calls. I see this more and more, these gross fatalities due to vehicular manslaughter, due to intoxication manslaughter. And how many of those could be contributed as a lack of accountability from some of the deputy officers?
All right. Thank you so much, Dan, for the call. So can you talk about, you know, your enforcement of accountability?
Sure. Dan, first of all, thank you for your service and thank you for your question. You know, with that being said, I don't think anybody can accuse me or my administration of being soft on accountability for deputies, but we have to find out about it first. So my question to you, and I know you're probably not on the air anymore, but my question to you is, did you notify Internal Affairs that it was occurring? If not, I would encourage you to do that. You can actually call my office at 210-335-6133. And ask to be transferred over to Internal Affairs and give the complaint there. And we'll certainly handle that situation appropriately, whatever that may be.
What can you tell us about this Venezuelan gang we're hearing about, Tren de Aragua?
Tren de Aragua.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are they here in Bexar County? Are we seeing activity from them?
They are operating here in Bexar County. We have seen them pass through the jail. We know that they're in the community. And you know, just like any other criminal street gang, our gang unit goes out looking for them and you know, targets them. And if it becomes appropriate to make an arrest, we absolutely will make an arrest. But if not, if it doesn't get to that point, we document their existence as a gang member. We call that tagging somebody out. And, you know, we do document the fact that they are here. But, yes, to answer your question, they are operating within Bexar County.
And are they more dangerous or any different than any other kind of criminal element that we would have here?
Well, I think they're just like any other criminal element. They're just like the Mexican mafia, the Crips and Bloods, it's just that they're from Venezuela in many instances. So I don't know that they're any more dangerous or less dangerous than our homegrown criminals, but certainly a cause for concern.
All right, let's go to another voicemail that we have, and we can give a listen to that.
My name is Tracy Bogert. I have a question for Tuesday's show with the sheriff. I'm sort of old school, so I don't know if this is relevant. I wanted to know what issues are facing law enforcement in today's world, and how is Sheriff Salazar going about tackling those issues? Thank you.
All right. So what are some of the issues?
Thanks for your question, Tracy. There's a lot of issues facing law enforcement, right? So the trafficking of humans, domestic violence, those are huge. But I'll tell you, at the root, one of the main issues facing law enforcement right now is manpower, right? Over the years, we've seen through the great resignation of 2021, attitudes toward law enforcement, our numbers have dwindled in years past. And we're just now starting to play catch up at the sheriff's office. I'm proud to say that because of the historic pay raise that we got our deputies last year, a lot of the improvements to pay and benefits, we have closed that manpower gap considerably. I'm full in law enforcement. On the law enforcement side of the house. On the detention side of the house, we had been over about 300 vacancies at one point. We're down in the double digits. We're down in the 80s on, and I think we're going to close that gap altogether. I say that to say that once we get that manpower where it needs to be, we can really start addressing the issues like violent crime, domestic violence, even more so than we already are.
But we're seeing incredible growth in our unincorporated parts of Bexar County. And the sheriff's office is supposed to be providing, you know, law enforcement out there. But I wonder, do you have the numbers of people, the officers on patrol, who are able to provide the same level of protection that people would expect, you know, that they have? Do they have unrealistic expectations for what you can provide?
Well, I don't think anything's unrealistic when it comes to the community. They are entitled to expect, an adequate provision of protection. With that being said, the last couple of budget cycles, we've done really well working with Commissioner's Court, increasing the pay dramatically. Last Commissioner's Court, our last budget cycle, we got about 62 new deputy positions added. This year, another 41 positions added. And this latest 41, as soon as the budget rolled around October 1st, we already had a new cadet class of 40 starting to fill those positions. And so we're absolutely doing our best to put out the best trained, best qualified first responders that Bexar County is absolutely entitled to.
Let's go to another caller, Daniel. And Daniel, you're on the air.
Thank you. Two quick points. Number one, I'm interested to know how the county and the city work in conjunction to police respond calls. Because here in Los Angeles Heights, my neighbors tell me it's a joke to call the police. They don't come out at all. Sometimes 2 days later, they're trying to call you. But whatever. They also do come out. I mean, they've got a heavy load, SAPD, with, what, a county of almost 3 million people? And I understand we have 3,000 police officers. But I don't know. Secondly, I want to commend Sheriff Salazar for having the integrity and the courage of people like Liz Cheney and all the good Republicans and Democrats who support the integrity of the American way of life, our values. And you stood up to Governor Abbott and to Judge Governor DeSantis in Florida to tell them, you know, you're just trying to do your job and lay out the law. And the DA in our county was supportive, too. I don't know where that went. But just the fact that somebody, the highest police officer in the county, stood up to these unpatriotic people makes, to me, you are in line with the patriots of Liz Cheney and anybody who stands up for what is right. And I'll
Well, Daniel, thank you for the call. So you were investigating when DeSantis sent someone to San Antonio to recruit people to be flown out of Senate to, like, I think, Martha's Vineyard?
Martha's Vineyard, yes, sir.
So what happened to that? Some woman named Yolanda?
Yeah, it's still an active case. And so the statute of limitations has passed on misdemeanor offenses in relation to that case, but we just met with the DA's office, and there's also a felony component to that case. That statute of limitations is still alive and well, and the case is still active. In fact, we're in the process of getting my investigators sent out to the East Coast to various cities where these folks still are to take in more information on the case. And it's absolutely still active.
There has been some people who want to revitalize a part of downtown, Cattleman Square area, and they have a problem with the jail. And they would like to see the jail relocated, and maybe it could be an opportunity to build a bigger and a modern jail. Do you have any opinions about, do we need to move the jail?
Well, I mean,
It would be extremely expensive.
I mean, who would not love a new workplace, right? I'd love to have a new state-of-the-art facility, but you're talking about money in the billions with a B, several of which, to build a new jail. I just don't think it's something that we'll see in the near future. With that being said, could the jail that we currently have stand to have some updating that will cost considerably less? Absolutely, and I'm certainly fully in favor of that. But as far as building a new one, I don't think that will be occurring anytime soon. That's not up to me, but I just don't see how the county.
You're
could
not
ever
calling afford. For I want a new jail.
No, I don't think it's possible. I mean, I don't think it's possible. I mean, I want to regrow my hair. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But with that being said, I just want the best working conditions for my deputies. I want the best, most, adequate facility that we can provide for the jailed population. They're not subhuman. They're accused of a crime. They're not yet convicted of a crime. So we also can't be housing them in a place that's hazardous to their health.
But we do have a number of people who go into the county jail and they don't come out alive. We have a problem with that. What's happening with the number of fatalities that we're having with?
Well, every jail has that as an issue, especially some of the major jails. Right now, we're seeing a population boom in the Bexar County Jail. We're having to house out inmates in other counties to maintain our jail standards. UHS is our healthcare provider within the jail. So there is 24/7 medical coverage. But with that being said, we're also dealing with a jail population that is more unhealthy than in years past. We're seeing people come in with major health issues, congestive heart failure, people with several stents in their heart, people with unchecked diabetes over the years. And, you know, they're just an unhealthier population than we've seen in years past. We've said this before. With that being said, that's why we have to limit who is in jail for things that they don't absolutely need to be. Jail should be for people that are dangerous and society is afraid of. It shouldn't be for people that we're mad at because they committed some minor infraction of the law. It shouldn't be for people that are there simply because they can't afford to not be. And it shouldn't be for the mentally ill or for the homeless. Those are people that we need to find a better way of dealing with. Unfortunately, over the years, the state of Texas has not made it a priority to build adequate mental health facilities to keep up with the demand. And so until we do that, jails are de facto mental health hospitals, rehab facilities, and you know, minor holding centers for people that are there for misdemeanor offenses.
So you're running for re-election. What issues are you running on? How are you explaining to the voters, re-elect me, hire me again so that I can do what?
Continue to do what we've been doing. It's building relationships with our community. My SCORE unit, my community policing arm of the agency is out there, you know, helping neighborhoods get organized, helping businesses to prevent crime through conducting business security surveys and trainings with employees on active shooter training, stop the bleed training, human trafficking training, any number of crimes that classes that we're doing out there to prevent crimes from happening. We've also got a second to none organized crime group that I built in 2020, 2021. We built our organized crime group. They operate out of the TAG. It's a joint facility that houses agencies, federal, state, and local. There's a huge effort out there from us. We've got a huge contingent of over 40 deputies assigned out there, and they're combating things like trafficking of humans, gangs like we talked about, the Tren de Aragua gang, but also, you know, some of our homegrown gangs, if you will. We're continuing to do that as well. But on as far as technologies goes, we've instituted all kinds of technologies here, drone technology, robot technology, that did not exist before I took office. But we've got pretty substantial efforts as far as that goes. And we're also in the process of revamping our intelligence capabilities. Working with Congressman Tony Gonzalez, we applied for a grant that we're still waiting to see if it'll happen for us, but it's in excess of $2 million that will be brought here to Bexar County, again, to help us out with all of those things.
So your opponent, Republican Nathan Buchanan, we've had him on the air. We have a link to our conversation with him on our website. But he said if he was elected, that he would shut down the San Antonio Immigration Resource Center on San Pedro. He said all those people there are illegal in his view. What's your reaction to that?
Well, in his very limited 2.75 years of law enforcement, I don't think that he fully understands what the powers of a sheriff are. And putting somebody like that in office that doesn't even understand what his job is, what his capabilities are, and what his responsibilities are to the public would be dangerous. So that's why I'm respectfully asking for the vote of Bexar County residents to Bexar County voters to come on out and help me assume my third term in office. I've protected and served this community for well over 32 years now, almost 24 years as a San Antonio police officer, the past almost 8 years as the Bexar County sheriff, and I'm asking for a third term and respectfully asking for the vote of all those folks that are out there, the voting public.
All right, Sheriff Javier Salazar, thanks for coming in today, taking calls, answering questions from our listeners. We appreciate that, and we got to let you go. I got to go out there and chase the bad guys.
Absolutely.
I remember I saw your face. I went to Sutherland Springs during that shooting.
Yes,
and
sir.
When I didn't know what was happening, because, and then I saw your face and I saw how, I mean, it's tough. I
yes,
mean,
sir.
You got a tough job.
Absolutely.
And so I appreciate that. Thanks for coming in
Thank
today.
Thank you, sir.
And the story continues right after this break.